Apprenticeship, learning to love, serve, and be like Jesus with Rebecca and Douglas Pereira.
What is an apprentice? An apprentice is more than a student. They do more than learn. They gain more than head knowledge. An apprentice draws near to the master. They listen carefully to what the master says. They watch closely what the master does. Then they practice it. Again and again, they practice what they've seen and heard to come as close as possible to the master's mind and skill. That is why we want to be apprentices of Jesus. We want to move beyond mere head knowledge about Jesus and his kingdom. To do that, we will draw close to him. We will listen and watch, and we will practice. As we do this, we will be transformed. We will truly love, serve, and be like him. This is what the apprenticeship is all about.
Hello, you're watching The Apprenticeship. I'm Olivia, and I'm an apprentice of Jesus. My parents, Rebecca and Douglas Pereira, are teaching me how to love, serve, and be like Jesus. I know that as you watch the show, you will learn a lot too. As an apprentice of Jesus, I follow the Apprentice's Creed. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love others as well as you love yourself. How do we love God and others as Jesus did? How do we live and serve like Jesus? By being his apprentice. Join Rebecca and Douglas as they show us what that means. This episode is full of insights. It can be a lot to take in. There is a study guide to help you review the points and go deeper into topics. I highly recommend you get it. You can find it on the website or by scanning the QR code. I hope you are blessed by today's episode.
In his footsteps.
They say that to truly know someone, you need to walk a mile in their shoes. But what does that really mean? It means understanding them, where they come from, what experiences they've had, and where they're heading, what they hope for, what they work for. It means discovering what is important to them and why. It means knowing their heart, what delights them, what fulfills them, and what pains them. This is truly knowing someone, and this is how we want to know Jesus. We can't walk a literal mile in his shoes, but we can retrace his footsteps in the Gospels. He has shared his story and his mission with us, and he has opened his heart to us. To truly love, serve, and be like Jesus, we need to know him, to really know him. This is what In His Footsteps is all about.
Last week, we studied when Gabriel told Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah.
We saw how Mary didn't understand how it would all happen, but she believed that God could pull off the impossible.
The passage ended with Gabriel leaving her. It leaves you wondering, so what happened next? She's young, unmarried, and pregnant in a society where that was a cause of her death. What is she going to do?
Well, the story picks up again in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Let's have our son Christopher read it for us.
A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said.
Mary runs to Elizabeth. That's what she does first. The Bible does not say that she told her parents. Given her circumstance, she would need her parents' support and protection. Actually, some theologians think she may not have had parents. But either way, she runs to Elizabeth. Rebecca, why do you think she did that?
Well, I think it's the natural next step, to be honest. Gabriel told her that Elizabeth was also pregnant by a miracle. It was the sign he gave that God's word is true and that God can do the impossible. I run to that too. And if anyone could understand Mary's situation, Elizabeth is the most likely. Mary likely wanted to talk about it with someone who wouldn't judge, with someone who would believe her. Those two women had extraordinary stories to share, and they wouldn't have been understood by many, but they could understand each other.
So Mary has arrived at Elizabeth's house. Luke spends some time telling us about these two women, about their unique pregnancies, and the special mission for their children. Now, these two stories meet face to face.
It really is a moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, Luke says, at the sound of Mary's greeting, some very interesting things happen. John leapt within Elizabeth, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Again, we see the Holy Spirit at work. What does he do this time?
Well, he gives Elizabeth prophetic insight. She knows without being told that Mary is the mother of the Messiah. And she knows that Mary accepted this role willingly.
That's true. The Holy Spirit also seems to influence John, even though he's still in the womb. It's like he's already starting his work of announcing the Messiah's arrival.
If Mary needed additional confirmation of Gabriel's words, she got it now.
Definitely.
There is something else happening too. We see Elizabeth honor Mary and her child. She understands that Mary's child is exalted in some way over her own.
And she doesn't seem to be jealous of that. She doesn't seem to feel like Mary has stolen her thunder, coming with a greater miracle and a more important child. Elizabeth has great humility. She accepts her role and her child's role in the bigger picture.
What a great lesson for us. It is tempting to think that if we are not the biggest and the best, we are not really contributing. But that's not true. The role we play in the bigger picture is a role only we can fulfill. That means each of us has something valuable to do, however humble it may seem from our limited viewpoints.
I love what Elizabeth says at the end of the passage. You were blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You were blessed because you believed. Not only are you blessed because you're the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, you are blessed because you believed.
You know, a woman once called out to Jesus while he was teaching. She said, God bless your mother. And you know what Jesus replied? He said, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. The blessing that comes from believing is for all of us.
Thank you for joining us on The Apprenticeship. We hope you are enjoying the show and its resources. You know, The Apprenticeship and its resources wouldn't be possible without Agents of Hope. You may be wondering, who are Agents of Hope? Well, they're people who are committed to sharing our hope in Jesus. They believe in the vision of Hope Channel Canada and support this ministry. Through their support, Agents of Hope make programming like The Apprenticeship possible. Their support means uplifting content can reach Canadians wherever they are. Would you like to help us? You can become an Agent of Hope too. You can visit the website or scan the QR code. Together, we can share with Canada that there's more to life, and it's found in Jesus.
in his workshop.
A workshop is where things are made. They are shaped according to a vision, to a plan. A workshop is also where broken things are restored. They are transformed, put back together. They're made useful and beautiful again. Jesus is the master craftsman. He invites us into his workshop. Here, Jesus wields his tools with expert skill, working in us. He shapes us into the people he designed us to be. He repairs our broken places. He restores his image in us. And he prepares us for the unique mission that is ours alone to fulfill. We must enter his workshop and allow him to work in us, and we must participate. Only then can we be transformed from the inside out. This is what In His Workshop is all about.
As a carpenter, Jesus shaped wood into useful or beautiful things. He also could have restored broken or damaged items to their original shape and purpose.
He continues his restoration work today. Last week, we talked about how Jesus works to restore God's image in us. That means that we have an identity, we have a purpose, and we have a mission.
Our identity is that we are God's children. Our purpose can be summed up in our apprentice's creed, to love God and to love others. Those are aspects of God's image we all share. What about our mission, though?
Our mission is unique to each of us. Discovering it is a lifelong process of God-led personal development and transformation.
So there's something or someone that God intends for us to impact positively. Obviously, we still have the choice to work with him, but his intention is still there.
Yes. He's hoping that we will join hands with him so that specific issue or person can be addressed. And he is preparing us for it.
He invites us to cooperate with him so we can ultimately do what he's prepared us to do.
Precisely.
This is all great, but maybe it's a bit intangible. Could you give me an example of how this looks like in real life?
Well, one example is David. He was a shepherd of his father's sheep, and maybe he thought that that's all he would do. But then he comes to the battlefield and he hears Goliath insulting God. How dare this Philistine speak against the one true God? And then David had that aha moment, like, hey, perhaps killing that lion and the bear was training for a bigger enemy, like a giant. Experiencing God's strength and protection in those times gave David the confidence he needed to meet Goliath on the battlefield. He gets in front of Goliath and lets everyone know what he's doing there. So the world will know today there is a God in Israel. It is one of his legacies, isn't it? And we can trace how God prepared him for it.
That's a great example. In those pastures, David communed with God. His zeal for God grew. His strength and courage grew as he protected the sheep. And then we see all of that coming together when he faced off with Goliath.
Exactly.
God has prepared for us a life that counts, that leads somewhere. And with God, it leads to an ultimate contribution to the kingdom. What we do with our lives matters to God and carries eternal weight. Making a contribution to the kingdom sounds impressive, but I'm not a David. Does it only count if it's something on that kind of scale? What might a contribution to the kingdom of God look like?
I hear you. I think many of us feel like if we are not a David, then we don't count. But that's not true. Here's what a kingdom contribution could look like. living a godly life, and always spheres of influence, whether at home, at work, or in the community. A godly life sets a standard that inspires and challenges others. It has immense impact, even if it is subtle. Of course, a kingdom contribution could look like bringing people to Jesus for the first time or helping believers develop in their walk with God. It could also be igniting some change that makes the world a better place. Some other possible kingdom contributions could look like founding or improving an organization, an institution, or a movement that God can channel His work through. It can also be the discovery of ideas or a deeper understanding of truth. It could be communicating these discoveries or promoting them so that they can further God's work.
Wow, it's a lot more diverse than I expected. There's so much room for each of us to contribute. But Douglas, can we know what our ultimate contribution will be?
There are practical steps we can take now to move towards understanding His purpose for us. For starters, we can take stock of our gifts, skills, life experience, and contributions we have already made. After looking at these puzzle pieces, a picture should begin to form. This exercise helps us identify what mission God may have for us.
I imagine we should then bring these puzzle pieces and picture to God.
Absolutely.
We can ask God to confirm or correct what we're seeing, but we can't come with preconceived notions and ask Him to sign the dotted lines.
No, we must remain open to His guidance. Once we have received God's confirmation of our mission, or at least a direction to head into, it helps to study others who are on the similar journey, who bring similar puzzle pieces to the table.
That way, we can learn from those who have experience, not to copy or to compare, simply to learn. So, we looked at our unique puzzle pieces. We brought them to God. We've got confirmation of a direction, and we're learning from others. These are all very practical steps. Is there anything else?
Well, now comes our choice. We can choose activities that call upon our unique puzzle pieces. We can choose to live with purpose for the kingdom rather than simply drifting. God is so good. He has planned so much goodness for us. When we join Him in His workshop, we will have a life that counts.
I can't wait to get more into these points. Until then, we'll leave you with these key questions. What is God doing in my life? Do I have the courage to be a part of His work? Am I truly willing to join Him in His work of redemption in my life and all around me?
On The Apprenticeship, we're all about learning. We're focusing on how to love, serve, and be like Jesus. But maybe there's more you'd like to know. Well, did you know that Hope Channel has a learning platform? It's called Hope Study. Hope Study offers courses that connect real life with faith. The studies answers questions like, does God exist? What is the purpose of life? Can I trust the Bible? What happens after death? Why is there suffering? Can I really change? Hope Study is a place to explore life's most profound questions with answers from a biblical perspective. Through Hope Study, you'll discover the Bible's truths and how they can enrich your life. And it's all completely free. I hope you take a look. You can visit our website or scan the QR code.
The Rescue Worker.
Stories of daring rescues capture our attention. The selfless rescuers inspire us with their determination to save others. Their actions challenge us to ask, would I have done the same? Jesus is the ultimate daring, determined, and selfless rescuer. He put it all on the line for us. He held nothing back, but gave everything to save us, the ones he loves. And he asks us, would you do the same for the others I love? Jesus invites us to join his rescue efforts, to bring people back from the brink to the safety of his love and kingdom. But how do we do that? What does it take to be a rescue worker for God's kingdom? That is what Rescue Workers is all about.
In October 1987, 1.5-year-old Jessica McClurry fell down in an empty well at her aunt's house in Texas. She was trapped 22 feet below ground for 2.5 days as rescue workers tried to get her out. Finally, they decide to drill another shaft next to the well, dig a tunnel between the two shafts, and pull Jessica out.
Jessica's rescue really showcases human determination and compassion. Her story points to a larger one, a story we're all in.
God offers us an even profound rescue than Jessica's. He reaches down into our brokenness and pulls us out.
He also rescues us from ourselves, from the sin that harms us from within. God rescues us and then transforms us into who he created us to be.
That's right. He develops us into a spiritual maturity. God enables us to become more and more like him.
It is a transformation from the inside out. It's for our benefit. And it is to empower us to benefit others, to be rescue workers with God.
Exactly. And to join God's efforts as a rescue worker, we need to have roots, edification, service, community, upbringing, and evangelism.
Last week, we talked about roots, how growing our roots deep in Jesus stabilizes us, nourishes us, grows us, and builds our resilience. What are we going to look at today, Douglas?
Today, we are talking about edification. It is the process of spiritual transformation or being changed from one thing to another.
In this case, we're being changed from our sinful selves to being like Jesus.
Precisely. The transformation flows up from our roots in Jesus. When we spend time with him, we will be changed.
It is not something we can manufacture on our own. We can't will ourselves into being like Jesus. Our transformation depends on our daily connection with Jesus.
Many of us are familiar with the phrase, by beholding, we become changed. I think it is worthwhile to look at the whole verse. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This verse shows us that we look and the Lord makes us more and more like him, changing us into his image.
That is so beautiful. And yet, it goes against what we often feel we need to do. So often, the impression that we need to do something gets in the way. But Jesus said, remain in me, those who remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit.
We often think our fruit is the good things we do. But the fruit is also our edification, our ability to reflect God's image in a kind of fruit that shows the world who we belong to.
So what are the ways that Jesus transforms us? What areas of our life will reflect his image?
Those are great questions, Rebecca. I can think of a couple, but what about you? Do any come to mind?
One area that comes to my mind is just that, my mind. Is my mind transformed to be like the mind of Jesus? Do I believe as Jesus believed?
I would add, is my character transformed to be like Jesus' character? Do I live the way Jesus lived?
We can also look at how we interact with people. Are our relationships transformed? Do we love as Jesus loved?
Yes, that's a great indicator. Jesus said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples."
Our spiritual habits must also transform. We know that weight training makes us stronger. Well, the spiritual habits makes us stronger too. Habits like prayer, study, worship, and fellowship. So do we train ourselves as Jesus trained himself?
Good point. Are we reaching for the tools Jesus reached for? To prepare ourselves to meet our different tasks or challenges? Which makes me think of our service. Has the way I serve others transformed to look like how Jesus served? Do I still have personal pride involved? Am I still wondering what I will get out of it? In short, do I minister as Jesus ministered?
That's a good one too. That idea of personal pride ties into another area of life, our influence. Has my influence been transformed to be like Jesus' influence? Do I use my influence to lead as Jesus led?
I cannot wait to dive deeper into these life areas that transform when we root ourselves in Jesus.
Me too.
We covered a lot just now, but there is so much more to learn. We'll go into each of these points in future episodes.
For now, we can focus on putting down roots in Jesus and letting him edify us, letting him transform us day by day into his image.
Thank you for joining us today. Wasn't this episode loaded with insight? Would you like to review the points and go deeper into the topics yourself? Well, you can. We have a study guide to help you review and apply today's topics. You can get the study guide on the website or by scanning the QR code. We hope to see you next time on The Apprenticeship.